You're listening to Tiffitations. I'm your host, Tiffany. This podcast is pro-black, fat positive, and female and film excellence through and through. I want to thank you for joining me today. And remember, if you ain't got nobody else, you got me. Welcome to Tiffitations. Hey, good people. I know it's been such a long time since I've come to you, and I sincerely apologize for that. But man, it's been quite a experience doing some homeschooling during our pandemic. So I had been trying to figure out different schedules and different ways to handle this. And I was feeling very overwhelmed. My husband was feeling very overwhelmed. And, you know, we also have our 2-year-old. And so there was just so much going on. And I just said, you know what? Focus on this one thing, get that straight, and we can go back into podcasting. And so I'm back, y'all. I'm back. And I'm so happy that you have chosen to listen to me today. And man, it's been a lot that has happened since I last spoke with y'all. So one of the things that I want to talk about is schools and how COVID-19 is being handled and things like that. First of all, I just want to say that I do have my own opinions about what is good for my family and what works for us. But I have a huge problem with kids going back to school. Now, with all of that said, I do not want parents who have sent their children back to school to feel like I'm blaming them, because I'm not. I'm definitely not. There are some parents who did not have a choice. That is the systemic issue that I have a huge problem with. Some people have told me, you know, I don't know what I'm supposed to do because I have to work. If I don't work, we don't eat. If I send them to school, then I'm exposing them to COVID. Like, what do I do? And that's a pretty fucked up position that our government has put us in. Because they want people to return to work, and they want people to circulate this money for the 1%. They don't care about the people out here living from paycheck to paycheck, trying to do the best that they can for their kids. They don't give a fuck. They don't give a fuck. You know, and that's what pisses me off. That's the part that pisses me off, not what decision people have made for their families. It's just the fact that some of us would like to have more options, and we don't. I've also heard some people talk about how hard this is on children with disabilities, and, you know, trying to figure all of that out. And I can't imagine how hard that must be for parents that have that issue as well. So with my son's former school, he was attending a private school. And the reason why we decided to not go back was, one, I had already decided. First of all, I have to tell you that I am a stay-at-home mom. So I did have the option of staying home with him and teaching him at home. Okay. So let's get that, you know, right out the gate. You know, this wasn't a situation where I didn't have a choice. I had more, I was able to make some decisions more loosely than a parent who has to go into work every day, okay? So I did have that option, and of course that's the one that I ended up choosing. The I had kind of had that in my head anyway. But to tell you the truth, I was kind of shocked that our school was going back full time. They sent out an email saying that that's what their intention was. And unless there was some big change, they weren't going to do it. That they were just going to open the schools. And I was shook. I was shook. I was shocked. I don't know. It messed me up. I didn't see that coming. The district that we live in, they did choose to do virtual learning starting out. And I think that they're going to be revisiting that decision sometime here soon, if they haven't done so already. And it was interesting, to say the least. The principal, I sent her an email asking for, more information. And she actually called me and we had a good conversation about what was expected at the school and all of that. The problem that I had with sending my son back was we just didn't know anything. We haven't even been in this pandemic a year. There's so many things that we don't know. So many factors that we can't account for because we don't know. We don't know. It's called novel coronavirus for a reason. It's new. We don't know what's going to happen. And so I didn't want to take that chance. I did not want to take the chance. I am a type 2 diabetic. As are, there are other people in my family who have underlying conditions as well. So it wasn't just about my son who, for all intents and purposes is very healthy. And not to say that people who have underlying conditions aren't healthy, but they have something that may complicate things if they get it. It's not a guarantee, but we don't know. We don't know. So, I had to not just think about him, but I had to think about everybody else. And, so we thought about that. And then my youngest, my 2-year-old, we had a COVID scare with him. He just developed a fever out of the blue, got up to 104. He was rushed to the hospital. In the ambulance, because we didn't bother trying to drive him to the hospital. We called 911. And so the first thing they did was like, we got to test him for COVID. And it was the longest, scariest 24 hours I think I may have ever experienced. I was a mess, y'all. I mean, I cried the whole time. I wondered what would happen. I'm like, if he got this really bad fever, how is it going to affect him? Because in my anxious, mommy scared mind, it was like he had it, and this was before my oldest was going back to school and before his school announced that they were going back full time. And I was terrified, y'all. I was so, so terrified. Turns out he did not have COVID. So that was good. But just as a precaution, myself and the family members that we see who are in our like safety pod, I guess you could call it, we got tested and we were all negative as well. But it was scary. It was so, so scary. And I'm like, if I sent my baby back and something like that happened, he got a fever, which could be about anything, it doesn't have to be COVID, but something like that happening during a pandemic and you're a person who already has anxiety, like that's just going to make it go through the roof. Like you can't. An anxious person and you add some perceived trauma on top of that, it's like you can't convince me that he ain't got it right now until I know for sure that test comes back negative. I was a mess, y'all. I cried. I held him. You know, I was just a mess. I was. And I don't know how people who have really gone through this, you know, not the fear of it, but have actually gone through this and experienced this, like, I don't know how they survived, you know? I was so scared. But like I said, he turned out to be okay. His test was negative. The rest of the family's tests were negative as well. So, you know, we was good. We was good. So that felt good. But anyway, we kind of made the decision, my husband and I, at the last minute, to not let our oldest do the virtual option at his old school. The reason why was because the option was for him to basically sit in front of the computer for 6 hours and watch the teacher teach the children who were there. That was the virtual option. Now, in the spring, the teacher basically did classes over Zoom, and, you know, they had classes, you know, like he may have, you know, reading from 10 to 10:30, and then he might have math from 10 to 10:30. And then there were activities that they had to do at home, a heavier load than homework, but not full on homeschooling. And that worked out well. You know, we turned in the information to the teacher via Class Dojo, and it worked perfectly, but that's not the setup we were going to have in August of 2020. So basically, they let us know that the children who were in school were going to be the priority. There was no separate situation or teaching for kids who would be attending virtually. I could not envision my 8-year-old sitting there for 6 hours staring at a screen, looking at his friends. Well, actually, I'm not going to say that because I don't know who's in-person school and who's doing virtual, but with the possibility of seeing his friends that he's been with since kindergarten and not being there, like, I didn't think it would be a good learning experience for him. I thought that we would lose him. And also, I didn't know, like, socially speaking, you know, I see all of them together and they're all at school, but I can't go. It did not seem like the best option for our family. And additionally, you know, we were paying thousands of dollars a year, and I'm not paying thousands of dollars a year for something that I don't want. You understand me? Like, that's not how our pockets are set up. We're not independently wealthy where we could just be throwing money at stuff that is not exactly what we need. So we opted to go with an online charter school. That situation started out rocky as well. First of all, I found out how challenging teaching can be. To all my teachers out there, I had respect for y'all before just because of the love and dedication that goes into your profession. But now, I didn't think that my admiration and respect could get, like, I didn't think I could have more of that. But ooh, child, I do. Because what I realized is that when you're teaching children, particularly ones this young, and I'm sure probably older too, but that's not the experience I have. You know, trying to teach a 7-8-year-old, first of all, to keep their attention, that is challenging as hell. I don't know how y'all do that. You know, it took a lot of tweaking and bumbling around for me to figure that out. We good now, But I'm telling you, I just was like, how are they doing this? Like, do they have superpowers? Because it was difficult. And another thing that I noticed too is that it's not just about teaching the material. It's about the psychology behind getting these kids in a space where they can learn. And that was hard. That was so hard. My husband, he's actually, I have to tell the truth. I feel like he's the better teacher. He said that's not true, but I feel like he is. So first of all, both of my husband's parents were teachers. So he acts like a teacher, even though he's never been one. You know, it's just certain mannerisms that he has that it's like, wow, you know, like you could see teacher all up and through him. And he's got that. One of the things that he did that I didn't do was he tended to break down information better than I did. And the disadvantage I think that my oldest son had with me was that we are both people who are impatient. Okay. Our brains work quickly. We want things done quickly. We process information quickly. But when you process information quickly, sometimes you lose bits and pieces. And that's kind of where we both were. And, you know, but my husband, he would break things down when he taught. So we kind of had to figure out what both of our strengths were and go from there. And like me, I was more of the cheerleader. Oh, you're doing such a great job. And my husband was not as good of a cheerleader. So what we did was we watched each other teach and we just kind of incorporated the, you know, the best qualities from each other and put that into our teaching plan. And that seemed to work. Another thing that we had issues with was scheduling. We tried to get him on a schedule at first and it was hard. You know, he was coming off of summer. The structure was not the same as school. Even though we were getting up at the same hours, we were trying to do the same thing. It was not a brick and mortar school. So his whole mindset was different around this experience. You know, my husband and I had the advantage of kind of visualizing it as a brick and mortar setup that our son did not have, you know, because, you know, he's never gone through this before. And granted, we haven't either, but he's a kid, you know, he doesn't know, like, okay, so mommy and daddy are now my teachers. Like they just mommy and daddy, you know, like they are not my teachers. Like if you ask him right now who his teacher is, he's gonna say the teacher that he has through the online school, which he does have an actual teacher and he does spend some time with her a couple times a week, but the majority of it is on me and my husband, right? And like I said, he doesn't view us as teachers. He views us as mommy and daddy. So that in and of itself kind of sets up a whole different psychological place for him. So we had to kind of overcome that. We did finally get a schedule together that worked for us, but we bounced around with different things and trying to see what worked, what didn't. We tried earlier in the day, we tried later in the day, we tried less hours, we tried more hours, we tried, you know, having less hours 7 days a week, having more hours but only 4 days a week. And it was just all over the place because we didn't know what to do. And I just had a meltdown on Facebook and a woman reached out to me and she told me her experience with homeschooling. And I also talked to his teacher. And it's also his teacher's first year teaching online school. So, you know, I had a lot of learning to do. Had a lot of great advice from some very caring people, his teacher, my Facebook friend, and a few other people who reached out to me on Facebook. They just gave me, you know, some chin ups, adjust your crown, queen. You know, it's going to be all right. And I needed that. I needed that. I needed to hear that. I needed to know that, you know, we weren't failing. I'm like, what is wrong with us? Like, is there something wrong with us? But it wasn't. It wasn't. It's just a hard thing. How many of us have been through a pandemic before? I mean, you know, this is pretty hard. So yeah, we had to really think about some things and readjust some things so that things were better for us. So when I come back, I want to give a few tips on how to manage, how, you know, some of the things that we have done, and maybe that'll help some of you parents out there. I hope it does. But before that, I want to take a quick break. I do have another musical break from DJ Khamin. As I told y'all before, he and I worked on another show that we had together called You and I Vs. Poetic some years ago. And so I'm really excited about having him back on the show. So just stay tuned on this music break from DJ Khamin. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
And we're back. So I want to talk about some tips that I have, you know, just from my experience. This may or may not help you. I am not the homeschool expert. I am not the online schooling expert. I'm not none of that shit. I'm just another parent who is trying to find their way through this process. And I just want to let some of my listeners know what has been helpful with our family. So one thing is, no matter what amount of work needs to be done, we have a cutoff point. That was something we were experimenting with at first, like, oh, let's get 6 lessons done. And however long that takes, that's what we're going to do. But sometimes some of the lessons might be a little more difficult. And so maybe they would take 2 hours as opposed to 30 minutes. And, you know, we find ourselves working longer than we wanted to and working into dinner time and all that. And it was just too much. It was too much. So our cutoff point, 4 o'clock, period. It doesn't matter what transpired, what was going on. If we're in the middle of a lesson, 4 o'clock, we are done. We're done. Because what was happening was, is all of us were getting burnt out. You know, our son was getting burnt out. We were getting burnt out. And, you know, it was too much. So 4 o'clock, we shut it down. Period. We're done at 4 o'clock. Another thing that bothered, you know, our son a lot was he was missing the social piece of school. Not being able to go to recess, go to lunch with his friends and things like that. So one thing I did was I had him start FaceTiming his friends on the weekends. Friends from the old school, friends from, you know, that he just used to play with, you know, all of that. So we're doing that. Excuse me, on the weekends. Then another thing is if you are on an online school, a lot of times they are having like virtual events that you can go to. Go to all of those events. If your child is a person who needs a lot of social, and my son, you know, he needs that social piece a lot, a whole lot. And so they have what's called a calendar time at 9 o'clock in the morning. And so he goes to calendar time and they talk about the weather. They talk about what time, they talk about telling time on the clock. They talk about a little bit of math, but he gets to connect with these faces and he's starting to notice people and learn their names. And, you know, they have a chat box and he talks to them and finds out that they have the same interests as he does. And he likes that. He likes it a lot. He meets with his teacher, well, actually with the whole class on Tuesdays and Thursdays virtually. This is all virtual, by the way. And he loves it. He loves it. He loves being able to see the teacher's face. He loves seeing his classmates and, you know, seeing what they look like. You know, while the lesson is going on, she doesn't have their pictures up. But a little at the end of their lessons, she puts the picture up and they dance to music. She turns on some music and they dance and you can see all the kids dancing, you know, virtually and everything. And he loves that. He loves that so much. And since we've been doing that, he's actually been doing better in school. And he also it's I think what is really, really important is monitoring your own frustration. I was getting frustrated with my son because he was shutting down on things that I knew that he knew. You know, because I'd say something like, well, what's 4 plus 4? He'd be like 10. And I know good and well that he knows what 4 plus 4 is. And so I'm like, no, you know what 4 plus 4 is. You need to tell me what 4 plus 4 is. And, you know, I would push it. But here's the thing, he was shutting down because he was worn out. So what I was doing was Oh, I know teachers probably gonna laugh at me, but I envision a school day in a brick and mortar, and I'm like, okay, so they don't have lunch till like 12 o'clock. You know, he had to be to school at 8:30. They had lunch at 12 o'clock. I think they had a snack at like 10. And so I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna follow that same thing. It turns out that those chunks of time was way too long for him. Each child is going to be different, but I'm like, oh. And so I figured out I could get 30 good minutes out of him, 30 minutes. And then we do a 10 minute break, and he does whatever he wants on his 10 minute break. He can play a video game. He can watch TV. He can eat. He can do whatever he wants. But every 30 minutes, no matter what, he gets his 10 minute break. He does still get his lunch out, his lunch at 12. In school, I think they had like 20, 30 minutes. And so I give him a little longer, like 45 minutes to an hour. And then we jump on back into work. The 30 minute mark is very good for him, because at the 30 minute mark, he's not shutting down. I found that after about 45 minutes, he's in complete shutdown mode because he's tired. So when I started doing the 30 minutes, 10 minute break, he was good. It was so much smoother, so much easier. We were even getting through the lessons quicker because he got that much needed break. Another thing, cheerleading. I am complimenting him. It feels like every 5 minutes. But I just want him to understand, I know it's hard work and all of that. The way we start our day off, before he gets on his 9 o'clock meeting, I have him do what his teacher calls getting your wiggles out. So that means he turns on a song, any song he wants, and he'll dance to it. And it's just to get his blood pumping, you know, get a little flow going so that he has some energy to start his day. Getting the wiggles out is very good. So I have him do that at the beginning of the day and then in the middle. So my husband is off on Mondays and Wednesdays. And so he actually teaches him on those days. That is helpful because I get a break. Most of the time I do teach a little bit on those days, but most of the days he's teaching them. And so that gives me a break, you know, and so that's helpful in managing my frustration. Another thing about the frustration piece is I had to realize his whole world has been turned upside down. One day he's going to school back in March, and like when we found out they weren't going to have school, like I think it was a Wednesday, and they're like, okay, Friday's their last day. And that was it. And I mean, I'm not blaming the school for that, because, you know, we had the order, schools were shutting down. And, you know, so he's just like, it didn't hit him. It didn't hit him then. And then when we went to the online thing during the spring, he still got to see his friends. He still got to see his teacher. And so he was actually cool with seeing them virtually. Then over the summer, he didn't see them as much, but he was cool because during the summer, he didn't have work to do. You know, we were very lenient on his bedtime because, you know, it's the summer. You know, he got to play his games, watch his favorite TV shows, and he was pretty cool. It wasn't until he started the new school year that things started to affect him. And I think that I was too much in this mode of, oh, he's okay because he hasn't displayed any type of different behavior, instead of really addressing, this is all new. He's never been to an online school. He's always been in brick and mortar. So, you know, this was new. Just like I was having to adjust and I was having, you know, issues, he was too. And I had to stop and think about that. Like, wait a minute. he's going through something too. I do have to admit my husband was a little easier on that. Like I said, he was raised by two teachers. So I think it's just something in his DNA. But I struggled and he struggled. And so I do emotional check-ins with him. I ask him how he's doing. And he'll say, I'm fine. And I say, no. I want to know exactly how you're feeling. You know, are you happy today? Are you sad today? You feeling overwhelmed today? We just check in. And, you know, sometimes he'll tell me, you know, mommy, I really don't feel like doing school today. Or he might say, mommy, I'm happy and I think I'm going to do good today. But it's just that check-in, and it means a lot to him that, you know, he gets that check-in. So that's another thing. Another thing that I find particularly helpful, even in an online environment, building a relationship with the teacher, building a relationship. They have like these, you know, they had these virtual meet and greets and all that type stuff. But I reached out to her on my own, and I actually requested a Zoom meeting with her on my own just to talk to her about our experiences, you know, and, you know, introduce myself to her, let her know a little more about our son and our family and stuff like that, and just build a relationship. I think that is so, so important. And when you have a meet and greet, you don't really have time to have a one-on-one with the teacher. And so us having that, our communication has been very open, very honest. You know, and I just told her, you know, when I was having trouble, I was just honest with her. I talked to her like she was one of my girlfriends. I didn't, you know, come up with all these euphemisms and try to sugarcoat shit. I just said, I'm struggling. I've never done this before. I'm freaking out. I don't have your expertise. I don't know what to do. And I feel like I'm drowning, you know? And she was very supportive, you know? She was as supportive to me as she probably is with her students. And so building a relationship with that teacher, and also understanding, and you know, another thing that was really cool was when we talked, she talked to me about her struggles. She was like, I'm struggling and I'm a teacher, you know? So we just talked about it just as women, as mothers, you know, we just had that chat and it meant a lot. Our communication has been on point. I don't have to sit back and wonder what the next move is, what she expects. If I know that if I have a question, she's going to get back to me. Where if my son is having an issue or something, she's going to talk to us. You know, on one day I wasn't there. My husband was doing the teaching and he built a relationship with her as well. So, definitely build a relationship with those teachers. Definitely understand that they are human, and definitely understand that they're going through some stuff too. You know, like I said, in the beginning, I was just thinking about what I was going through, and I didn't take the time to really digest what my son was going through. And I think we kind of do that to the teachers too. So definitely understand that these teachers, because basically they just been, this has been thrown at them, like, and y'all just figure it out, you know? And we've all been on jobs before where something like that has happened. That does not feel good. So imagine the extra heavy weight of being in charge of the education of children. That is a heavy responsibility, and they have just been thrown a wrench. An unprecedented wrench that is, you know, it's something we haven't dealt with before. Everybody is struggling in this, and everybody is new to this. And, you know, communication is huge. You're not seeing these people face to face most of the time. And even if you are, it's important to establish a relationship with that teacher. I can't stress that enough. That has actually been a true, true lifesaver for me and my family. So definitely do that. Also, every Friday, based on how attentive my son was and things like that, we will reward him accordingly. Just to have that positive reinforcement of, you know, you work hard, you know, it's going to pay off for you. And you know, that has been very, very, very helpful. And it encourages him, and he does a lot better that way. And I just, I think also the environment at home is important. Now, I do have a particular issue. My 2-year-old is still home. Okay. So on the days that my husband is working, I got both of them. Whoo, child. That was a whole nother issue that we had to take care of, because he was upset that, you know, why is my big brother getting all the attention? This is my mommy. He don't care about no pandemic. He don't care nothing about no school. He like, all I know is that's my mommy and she paying attention to somebody else. That was hard in the beginning. And what I had come to realize is that he wanted to be a part of the process. He wanted to go to school too. And so what I started doing was I let him sit there during the lessons. At first, I was trying to, you know, get him to play with his toys and, you know, trying to keep him away from our workspace. But he wanted to be involved. And so what I did was I would give him a pen and paper. And some of the schooling is videos, and they have like little cartoons on them. He loves those, especially the phonetic ones, because, you know, he's still in the stages of forming sentences. And so when he hears things, you know, he's doing the phonetics with the little cartoon that his big brother has to watch. And, you know, I gave him a little, you know, tape, a little piece of paper and a pen, and he sits there and writes when, you know, his older brother's writing. And now he's much calmer. And sometimes I may have to sit him on my lap, just so he has that closeness to me and feels the warmth of my body. And he's so much calmer since I've done that. I don't know. I just thought that he had to kind of be out of space, or that I had to run back and forth between them. Cause that was another thing I tried. I tried running back and forth in between them, trying to give them attention separately. And I was killing myself. I didn't even have to do that. And the way I learned that, y'all, was watching my husband teach. When I watched him teach, that's what he was doing. And I'm like, wait a minute. So I can do that too? And it works. It works. Because he feel, and he's actually picking up, like I said, particularly on the phonetics, because he's trying his best to form some words. He's going to be a talker just like his mama. And so he's trying to form words. And so when he hears some of these, you know, lessons that, you know, our son has on, you know, pronouncing things, long O, short O, long A, short A, he's into it. He loves it because he feels like he's a part of it. And he is, and it's great. So that's how we manage that part. So I think that's all I have right now. But yeah, I was just really drowning there for a minute, and I had to put all of my energies into that for my family. And we're good now. We're good. It's still hard work. It is definitely still hard work. But I feel like we've made it through, and I feel like we're okay. So you will be hearing from me more often. Like I said. And I'm just glad to be back. And I hope, beyond hope, that this was helpful for you. I hope it was. And I'm gonna try to catch up on some of the topics I missed, because there's so many things that I would think about, like, oh, I gotta talk to my listeners about this. And I'm gonna get to it. But I wanted to let y'all know why I had been gone so long. So thanks for hanging in there with me, and stay safe. If you are a parent who is homeschooling right now, or, you know, having online schooling or whatever, just know that everything is a custom fit for your family, and just try your best. That's all you can do. Don't be afraid to wiggle around if things don't fit. Don't be afraid to say, you know what, waking up at 9 o'clock ain't working for us. Maybe we'll do 10, whatever it is that gives some balance and some harmony to your family. You do that. And above all else, take care of yourself. Definitely take care of yourself. And also remember, if you ain't got nobody else, you got me. So make sure that you subscribe so you can get any type of notifications of a new podcast. Make sure you're doing that. And I will see you guys soon. Peace. Thank you for listening to this episode of Tiffitations. Please consider supporting this podcast for as little as 99 cents per month. Click on support on the podcast homepage or visit anchor.fm/tiffitations/support. And remember, if you ain't got nobody else, you got me. Peace.